Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A year ago this past Saturday, Wuhan, China went under strict lockdown. The lockdown lasted 76 days from January 23rd to April 8th. Wuhan, a city of 11 million, was the first outbreak of what would later become the COVID-19 pandemic. And its lockdown actually made a huge difference. Sylvia Briand, director of infectious hazard management at the World Health Organization, said at the time, quote, "Measures on movement restriction have delayed the dissemination of the outbreak 2 or 3 days within China and a few weeks outside of China." So Wuhan was essentially the canary in the coal mine and created the world's first line of defense against the virus. At 28 hospitals around the city, frontline medical workers scrambled to treat the 50,000 people who were infected with this virus that at the time, remember, we knew so little about and had no idea of how far it had spread. To put this in perspective, a new antibody study published this month suggests that with asymptomatic carriers and other cases that didn't rise to the level of hospitalization, as many as 5 million, almost half the city, contracted the virus, 10 times the number that was originally reported. Now, for the first time, we have a real raw inside look at what it was like to be a frontline worker in Wuhan during that outbreak at the front lines of the front line. 76 Days is a new documentary from filmmaker Hao Wu, who managed to embed documentarians with camera gear in four of those hospitals in Wuhan during the city's 76-day lockdown. It's a stunning look inside the early days of the fight against COVID, the human cost of the pandemic, and the heroic work of overwhelmed medics who sought to first to heal and then to comfort their patients and their families amid all of the chaos and uncertainty and scarcity of resources that characterized the first months of the pandemic. The director of that documentary, Hao Wu, joins us now. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Allison, for having me.
So we know the Chinese government at the beginning of the pandemic kept a very tight grip on the flow of information. Your crew was able to get this really intimate look at the workings of these hospitals. And when the credits roll at the end of the film, we see that one of the producers is listed as anonymous, along with camera people listed as anonymous. How were you able to get your crew all of that access inside these hospitals?
When I first started researching this film in early February, so I got in touch with over a dozen filmmakers who had already started filming in Wuhan. Some were also inside the hospital, some were outside. So my two co-directors, they found access themselves. And during the lockdown, the government restricted access to the hospital to only allowed medical workers and patients and reporters to go inside. And luckily, both my co-directors are reporters. One of them, Wei Xi Chen, he worked for Esquire China as a video reporter, but he wasn't sent by Esquire to cover the lockdown. He just wanted to be there to document history because he's an aspiring documentary filmmaker himself. He actually was rejected by four different hospitals before he was able to embed himself with a medical team that was sent from elsewhere in China to support local hospitals. Since he embedded himself with a medical team, the receiving hospital thought he was part of the medical team, so they granted him access. And my other co-director, Anonymous, he's a photojournalist working for a local newspaper, so he already had a relationship with many of the hospitals there. But even for him, he was rejected by a couple of hospitals he wanted to get access to. The thing about access control in China, especially in the early days of the lockdown, because the city was under extreme chaos, the hospitals were completely overwhelmed. So the decision to grant access was made from hospital to hospital, basically by the hospital chief. And sometime, especially in the early days, and some of the hospital actually welcomed reporters coming and report the chaos on the front line, the severe lack of shortage of PPEs. So people outside of the hospital, outside of Wuhan, decide to donate goods to support them.
When you first started shooting this film, I want to talk about the evolution of what you realized you had. What did you think the story was shaping up to be in the beginning? And then when did you realize the enormity and the direness of the situation?
I think from the very beginning, it was actually the situation in Wuhan was the most dire at the very beginning of the lockdown, because on the first day of the lockdown, there were only four hospitals open to what the Chinese government called fever patients, basically COVID patients. Because the beds were so limited, people were really rushing to those four hospitals, and they really couldn't get in. But then as soon as the government opened up all the other hospitals in Wuhan to accept only COVID patients, they actually kicked out most of the other patients in the hospitals, things started to calm down a little bit. And there were so many twists and turns during the first month of the lockdown, because the central government actually had to replace the entirety of the provincial and the municipal government because they were doing such a bad job. But once that happened in mid-February, things really started to stabilize.
Yeah, you describe in the film we see there's just this mob, this throng of people outside the hospital, everyone wanting to come in, and there's a healthcare worker in full PPE begging them to calm down, sometimes having to yell at them, saying, "We're going to get to everybody, we're trying our best, we are doing our best." What struck you about that relationship between the staff inside the hospital and the crowd of people outside?
I think, you know, when I first reviewed the rushes for that scene, what struck me was really the absolute panic and the fear of the unknown. Because for the patients, you have to remember, at that time, the transportation was shut down. So most of the patients had to walk miles to get from their home to the hospital. The reason they wanted to get in, because, first of all, there was so little known about this virus. Everybody was extremely scared. They also wanted to get away from their homes, so they didn't have to, and infect their relatives and families. But then inside the hospital, the medical workers, for most of them, it's their first time dealing with infectious disease of that scale. So they were scared too. So it's basically what that scene shows is the two sides, they're basically the butting heads. And one side really wanted to rush inside the hospital. The other side wanted to maintain order. So for a moment, the head nurse actually screamed that if you keep on doing this, we're not going to admit anybody. Obviously, that was an empty threat. But then at that time, I think it was, I think most people were on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
Mm-hmm. My guest is director Hao Wu. We're talking about the film 76 Days, about the 76 days of the lockdown in Wuhan, China. So, you know, these camera folks, these journalists were embedded and they saw a lot. They saw a lot of very vulnerable people. They saw people who had lost their lives. They saw healthcare workers breaking down. There's this sort of the opening scene. We see someone in their full PPE and muffled, you know, wailing, screams of grief, being restrained and comforted by colleagues as she has to go through the halls after her father has died. As a filmmaker, how did you and your colleagues think about the depicting sensitive moments like this and the ethical concerns around him?
Yeah, that's definitely something my co-directors and I, we talked a lot. I think on one hand, I feel extremely lucky that my two co-directors, even when they film the absolute tragedies on the front line, they film with such empathy and care for the people in front of their camera. But in the meantime, I feel like this is truly is almost like a war moment. It's like a war film. They were there to document history in the making. And then I just feel like, I think a lot of decision actually came in during editing, because during production, when they were filming, they were just trying to capture as much as possible. But during editing process, what to keep, what to leave out, we had several rounds of discussion. For example, they have captured a lot more people dying, body bags being wheeled away. And in during editing stage, we just decided just keep one of them in the opening scene, and the rest of it we took out from the film, because we didn't want to be show death gratuitously. And then I think, But then at the same time, I think what we, the principle we have stick to is basically we have to show respect for the people, even in their most vulnerable situation. Mm-hmm.
The disease hits the elderly, obviously. There's many, many older folks in the film, and we see the doctors and the nurses working with these patients. Some are confused, some are resistant, some are lonely, they miss their families. Elders are so revered in Chinese culture. How do we see this play out in the film and in their treatment?
Yeah, I think it's just in this film, like medical workers, they always call the elderly uncle, auntie, grandma, and grandpa. Mm-hmm. That definitely adds a level of familiarity to an otherwise really chaotic situation. And remember, I mean, especially in the early days, most of these patients, they were kept inside their hospital rooms. They were not even allowed to go into the hallway for fear of cross-infection. Because the medical workers were worried that different people might be carrying different strains or different mutated variants of the virus. And then they were so lonely and they were so scared and they had no family around them to comfort them, which makes COVID-19 such a horrible disease. And the medical teams in many ways become their almost like a surrogate family to give them not just the physical care, but also emotional support.
There's one elderly gentleman who seems to think the doctors are keeping him against his will, and he repeatedly tries to leave. He tries to enter other areas. And there's this interesting moment when one of the medical professionals just says, you know, he's a fisherman from another province. He doesn't understand. He's restless. He doesn't understand the doctors. How did, you know, that speaks a little bit to the differences in cultures within cultures. How do those dynamics play out in the hospital?
I think once the government started sending volunteer medics to support Wuhan because the situation was so dire on the ground, definitely the hospital felt relieved. But also it introduced another level of complexity, as you mentioned, because a lot of the medical workers, they didn't understand the local dialect. So especially with this old fisherman, because he doesn't speak the Mandarin, the standard dialect in China, so people were having a hard time understanding him. There's a lot of miscommunication to comic effect in the film. But then I think gradually, as soon as they got over the initial antagonism, I think people found a way to communicate with each other, and things in the hospital calmed down quite a bit.
My guest is director Hao Wu. We're talking about the film 76 Days, which follows the 76 days of the lockdown inside of hospitals in Wuhan. So, you know, I think there's something really an important part of this film, which I often don't think gets talked about enough about COVID. The people whose lives were upended by COVID, but not because of COVID, were like the woman who had to give birth alone in the hospital. I'm curious what other kind of situations you saw like that in the film. That was particularly poignant. She's crying as her baby's father can't be with her.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that story was really moving when I was looking at the rushes. She had to deliver the baby, and she was in the later stage of COVID, coronavirus infection, even though she didn't show any symptoms. So as soon as she delivered the baby was taken away from her, mostly to prevent the baby from being infected. And then the mother had to stay inside a hospital for weeks to make sure she was virus-free. Mm-hmm. And then she was sent to a quarantine hotel where she had to be quarantined for 14 more days and undergo multiple rounds of testing to make sure she's completely virus-free before she and her husband were allowed to go home. And once they got home, they had to wait for the permission to go pick up their daughter. So it was, like, I think, 5 or 6 weeks after she delivered the baby before she could even touch her. So it was, as a father myself, I could, you know, I totally understand the pain she was going through. And also in 76 days, we get a glimpse of life outside the hospital as well. Mm-hmm. For example, like in neighborhood compounds that's been closed off and residents lined up to receive groceries that's been delivered to the sort of the residential neighborhoods gate, because at that time there was severe restriction of freedom of movement within the city of Wuhan.
There's this one shot that you come back to, and it's incredibly poignant, of a almost like a basket full of cell phones. And cell phones that have been taken from people who have been admitted to the hospital. And we realize by the end of the film, some of those people will never recover their cell phones. Their family members are going to have to come back and recover their cell phones. As you watched your rushes in your film from that first day to that 76th day, what changed the most?
I think it's the emotion of the city and the emotion of the people inside, both inside and outside the hospital, changed dramatically from the, you know, once again, the panic and fear at the very beginning, to a sense of relief in the middle as things were put under control. And up and then until the end, even though the city of Wuhan survived this lockdown, this viral outbreak, but there's a sense of collective grief returning. As the head nurse of the hospital, as she was cleaning all the cell phones mm-hmm. and calling family members to come and pick up the personal effects of the dead, it was, on one hand, it's over, right? This war, this quote-unquote war is over. But at the same time, she had to deal with the aftermath. One of the families she called actually didn't know that their mother was in the hospital, because in the early days of the chaos, sometimes you don't even know where your relatives ended up. And so there were just so many heartbreaks, and she had to go to the nurse in order to do her job to return the personal effects to the family. So I feel like that's a moment for all of us, I guess, also for the filmmaker like us. We wanted the viewer to watch those moments and never forget about the collective loss we have suffered.
The name of the film is 76 Days. It's available to watch for free via the online platform Virtual Cinema. I've been speaking with one of its directors, Hao Wu. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Allison.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.